This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hashtag hot mess. I think when you go out there and you're an ex-president, especially if you're in the middle of a scandal, you have to have some responses ready in your back pocket, for goodness sake. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This is where we start. Bill Clinton. He was asked a couple of times, one on the Today Show, he was promoting his new book, to look back on what happened then, back in the Monica Lewinsky scandal days, through the lens of hashtag Me Too now, and was asked, do you think differently or feel differently? And the former president claimed he owed no personal apology to Lewinsky, saying his public repentance was certainly enough, and he's never talked to her. And then he said, nobody believes that I got out of that for free. And Clinton accuses NBC of ignoring gaping facts. Gaping facts. In the meantime, the current president was busy, one, telling the Philadelphia Eagles to pound sand. So less than 24 hours before the Prez was going to welcome the Super Bowl champs to the White House, he took back the invitation. Several members of the Eagles, including safety Malcolm Jenkins, one of the leaders of the Players Coalition, and defensive end Chris Long, said before Trump extended the invitation they wouldn't attend if invited. He said the Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to be celebrated tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. He said the Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. He said the fans are still invited to the White House to be part of a different kind of ceremony. Instead, what they're going to do is they're going to be greeted with the United States Marine Band and the United States Army Chorus to celebrate America, but the Eagles are not welcome. Remember, the NFL owners adopt a new anthem policy at the end of May that will allow for players who don't want to stand for the anthem to remain in the tunnel. Teams can be fined if players don't stand and show respect during the anthem. The president said players who chose not to stand shouldn't be in the country. And apparently fewer than 10 players were going to go to the White House event. At least that's what the reports were showing. So that's part of the reason of calling it all off. I think there'll be a lot more reaction to that story. But the president is doing something in place of it. So they're not going to, they were only going to send 10 anyway, and that's the big reason why. So it's not the full team, the full photograph, that whole thing. If you've been paying attention to the horrific shooting spree that was going on in Phoenix, it's a relief that it has come to an end. Dwight Lamon Jones was holding a grudge, I guess, for almost a decade. Police found him dead on Monday morning of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in a Scottsdale hotel in Arizona. He was suspected in a string of shootings in Phoenix and Scottsdale over the last week. Apparently, he created almost 10 hours of online video outlining what he saw as a conspiracy by his ex-wife, psychiatrist, lawyers in the Maricopa County judicial system to rig a divorce case and steal custody of his son. So the forensic psychiatrist who was retained by his wife's attorney, Stephen Pitt, was one of the people that was killed, and there were others that were killed as well because of what happened to him in court, because of losing the case and what happened to him. But a shock to all those people. And, of course, the killings were spread out, as I mentioned. On Sunday, before police were tracking Jones They said he had driven his gold Mercedes to Fountain Hills, headed for a house in a cul-de-sac. Inside, he killed a man and a woman, though their names have not been released. Wow. It was a very contentious divorce, I guess. And he worked when she went to medical school. And when their son was born, they decided that because she could make more money as a radiologist than he could with his GED, he would stay home and take care of the child. So he became kind of a house husband. And for the next 12 years of the 22 marriage, he was the primary caretaker. But when the son was old enough to go to school, again, according to the court records, she wanted him to go back to work, and he refused. So then this was ended up being that kind of a divorce. And there was domestic violence charges from the past, and wow. So the people, I think, surrounding this psychiatrist especially were very shocked by what happened. He was a well-known psychiatrist. He was involved in the Jean Benet case, among others, that were pretty famous. And I don't think there was an outcry. There was an outcry that that could happen, but psychiatrists are always walking targets because of what they, you know, if he's troubled, what they put in information in a report or any of that, which can, of course, flip around in a divorce situation. It can flip around a divorce. It can also mean less child custody. And I think certainly with this murder rampage and then him committing suicide once they started to close in, they're getting their answers because he left one of those manifestos and rambling on video as to why he did what he did. But these are innocent people, so it's sickening, of course, to hear and see about that. And it was strange when it happened. People were speculating, as was it something else? Was it somebody else? And lo and behold, it certainly wasn't that. By the way, it is another primary day coming up. So the battle for the control of Congress is on, game on. Democrats may have the most riding on Tuesday's results. They're seeking to nominate strong candidates in 16 House races from New Jersey to California, but they face crowded primaries in some cases. So now it's about who's going where. And the three key races are Iowa, New Jersey, because of the overlapping districts, and New Mexico, believe it or not. So, New Mexico is a place that could flop in different directions. In New Jersey, Democrats are targeting 5 New Jersey districts that sent Republicans to the House in 2016. That's a majority switch in strategy from the past years when they called them safe districts were ignored. And they focused on areas where they felt like they were making gains. You shouldn't ignore the safe areas. There's a lesson in that, which they're trying to correct. Coming up on America Tonight, it's all about the Daily Salute. Let's hear something good and odds and ends. Kate Delaney, ATN, hang with us.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are,
I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Some happy news, right? Can we have some nice news? How about a daily salute or two, right? There's some great things happening across the country, which, by the way, if you know of some great heroes or people that just deserve a daily salute for something they've done, let me know. Because we're looking to highlight some of those people across the country here on America Tonight. And I have gotten a few of those types of emails, and I'm going to start to highlight them more. So I'm giving you the opportunity, is what I'm telling you. Go to AmericaTonightRadio.com, AmericaTonightRadio.com. That's where you can hit us up for that kind of stuff. And or you can go to Delaney Media Group at Live.com, wherever you choose, right? Wherever you choose. You can certainly hit us up there. In fact, I'm going to just tell you about one. I got one from Hal who said, Kate, I got to tell you, I am so touched by this woman who is in our neighborhood in outside of Portland. And she delivers sandwiches every day to some of the homeless children that she can find on the street. Some of them are in the shelters, and then they're not in the shelters. So she looks for them. And all I know is her name is Eileen, and she's done it for quite some time. And she's not looking for any publicity. She's not looking to become well-known. She does it just out of the goodness of her heart. And I think that qualifies her as a very, very good person. What do you think? She does this, by the way, at her own convenience or lack of convenience. She does it after work, and she does it also during her lunch. I'm going to say, Eileen, wherever you are in the Portland area, rock on. That is absolutely worth a daily salute because, one, she's taking her time and, you know, she's taking her time and she's doing that on her own and probably making the sandwiches or buying the sandwiches or, you know, whatever it is, and helping out probably some very lost kids. The story of kids and homelessness is really incredibly, incredibly sad when you hear it. There are so many teenagers living on the street, and often the story is that when they were younger, they felt just rejected and were kind of moved from home to home, foster home to foster home, and got lost in the shuffle and became probably angry and didn't like adults. And I've heard just too many very, very sad stories. So bottom line is, I would say daily salute for Eileen. Absolutely. No question about it. All right, we got some odds and ends. That's what I like to call it, odds and ends. And there's some really crazy ones. Like, I don't know, how about this? There was a man who was fined for towing a car on the back of a tricycle. How do you tow a car on the back of a tricycle? I'm serious. If you put this in whatever search engine you use, you'll see it. I would believe it would have to come up because this story just came out a short while ago. And this was out of China. A man carried a sedan on his motorized tricycle. So people were capturing this on tape. They were recording it. He was fined $200 and he got 9 points on his license. Apparently he had purchased the car and he was taking it to the scrapyard to sell it for parts. That would be such an odd thing to see, wouldn't it? See this guy carrying the tricycle, on the tricycle, towing the car, and the car was pretty decent size, actually. Very strange. I love these kinds of stories about the message in the bottle. So a New York State girl's message in a bottle reached Morocco. She threw the bottle overboard from a cruise to Bermuda and got word that it was found 3 years later in Morocco. Imitaz Kokahar of West Islip on Long Island said he helped his then six-year-old daughter author a message in a bottle. They threw it overboard. They were on a Norwegian cruise line, and they boarded that in Boston for a trip to Bermuda. He got an email from a Moroccan man who said he found the bottle on this white beach, on this famous white beach. He can't read or speak English, so he went to the man who found it to his son for help, who's studying French and knew enough English to look at the contents of it. And it's funny, this 9-year-old said, "I waited and waited and then I gave up. I think it's really cool because it actually took almost 3 years." She said she hadn't expected the bottle to travel to northern Africa. She said she thought it would go to England because of the current of the ocean. There's a song about that, message in a bottle. That's so cool. I mean, for a kid, too, especially, right? I love that. Absolutely. Here's an interesting story. This thing with bears and animals that really shouldn't be close to your house or apartments that get close. But you got to be paying attention, right? So a Florida school was placed on lockdown after a black bear was spotted wandering the neighborhood near the facility. Gracie Community School in Fort Myers announced Monday morning that the students and staff were being kept inside as a precaution after the bear was spotted wandering near the building. I just want food. Anybody got any honey? Let me sit in the cafeteria. Police are trying to catch the bear. In the meantime, all students and staff had to remain indoors until they got the all clear. They say that they had to call the wildlife folks, and they responded, and they cornered the bear about 8 a.m. in an apartment complex. But it was kind of elusive. Well, of course. At the school, fleeing the school, going down the street? I mean, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of these crazy animal stories where if, like I said, if you're not careful, you've got to kind of look over your shoulder. This may be my favorite story of all. People always talk about that nonsense of, what if you won the lottery? What would you do? Would you buy a stadium? Would you buy a team? Would you buy a fleet of cars? Well, there's a New York couple that won $5 million jackpot when they bought a lottery ticket just to get change for a $100 bill, and they're in their 20s. Two people from the Bronx, William Williams and Michelle Concepcion, told the New York lottery officials, hey, they bought the $5 million fortune lottery ticket, or the $5 million fortune lottery ticket for $20 from a liquor store in the Bronx because they needed to make change for a $100 bill. And they decided, hey, okay, I'm going to plunk down some money on it. And he scratched off the lucky ticket. The couple said they're planning to use their money to help out their family members and open a motorbike shop. Yeah, because, see, they have money left over. So they're going to help the fam, and then they're going to open a shop. That's nice. I love that they were changing a $100 bill. I'm changing a $100 bill, and I am at the same time going to get a scratch-off, which I never get scratch-offs. Never. And then, lo and behold, I win. How does that happen? Is it luck? The right timing? Just think, somebody that came in after and got that ticket would have won. That's why they say if you memorize your numbers, if you played that kind of lottery, that you have to play those numbers always if you've played them, and be careful because if you decide to stray from that and then somebody else uses the numbers and they win with them as well, that's going to make you feel a little bit angry that you didn't happen to play that same time. I mean, it's not unusual that that could happen, but you can see how that could really get under someone's skin. Oh, my numbers, I forgot. And we're going to end on a daily salute. Jimmy Fallon surprised the Parkland students, and he surprised the Marjorie Stoneham Douglas graduation people as well. So good for Jimmy Fallon, spreading the love, showing up. And, you know, people tweeted it out. He posed with some people, and he said, today you're graduating from high school. He offered the students a little bit of comic relief and a hopeful message months after that high-profile shooting. He said, you should be incredibly proud of yourselves. And I think that's very cool that he did that. Nice. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The man who police say murdered six people in Arizona has been found dead in a hotel room in Scottsdale. The assistant police chief, Rich Slavin, describing how the victims are connected.
He had a divorce situation back in 2009 and 10. And during all of that time, he was related to all of the victims' in some way.
The killing started on Thursday. Two psychiatrists, two paralegals, and two others killed. Jones shot and killed himself at the hotel Monday morning as the SWAT team moved in. Leading up to the summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore next week, the White House says there's been no change in policy against North Korea. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
We have sanctions on. They're very powerful, and we would not take those sanctions off unless North Korea denuclearized.
The two plan to meet June 12th to talk about denuclearization. This is USA Radio News.
This is Cece Carmichael, a classically trained chef. You've seen her all over your television in many different places talking about so many different things, and they all looked delicious. You're going to tell us about a contest where people could win a $5,000 prize?
Yes. Well, it being June Dairy Month, which we're very excited about, and we want to celebrate with all our listeners and all our viewers, the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association is sponsoring a sweepstakes to enter to win $5,000. And also, if you go to easyhomemeals.com, that's where you enter to win. And you can also get really great recipe ideas of things that I've made. I stayed up all night making for you.
I also want to enter the contest. Once again, tell me how to do it.
Go to easyhomemeals.com, and our friends at the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association have been kind enough to sponsor this.
Thanks again to Cece Carmichael.
Hey, folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I don't know about you, but I am a huge fan of the romance novel. My mother was a voracious reader, and after she passed away and we were cleaning out her place, I found underneath her bed stacks and stacks of romance novels. And this woman was brilliant. I mean, she was so, so smart. And I thought it was so cool that she also, besides reading all these heavy books about biographies, etc., that she had this passion for romance. And I think it's very cool that we have romance novelist Lauren Smith with us, and she has written a ton of books. But what's really, really cool about her too, she has a secret. She's a lawyer by day and a fantasy novelist by night. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So when I say lawyer by day and then you're this fantasy novelist by night, tell us about that. That's intriguing.
Well, you know, it's funny. It was like you were talking about with your mother and romance novels. I had never read a romance novel until I was in law school. Law school is such a grueling, stressful process, and I just remember thinking I needed a way to escape, and I was a big reader, and I'd been writing since the third grade, and one of my friends said, you know, you write love stories. Have you ever read a romance? And I said, oh my gosh, no, I don't read that stuff.
Yeah, I would never read that, right? Romance
right.
novels, I'm not going to do that.
I'm too good for that. And then I started reading them, and I was blown away by the writing, the quality of the stories, the research that the writers put in. And what I really loved was that love stories aren't cheesy. They aren't cliche. They're about characters overcoming obstacles to be together and solving problems. And I just was astounded that I thought this genre has such a bad rap and the stories are so captivating and wonderful. And I thought, I want to write that. And so I survived law school by reading romances and writing romances. And then it just kind of took off and it became this kind of way to survive the stresses of being a lawyer, because during the day, you know, I would be you know, stuck in court all day, and I would kind of just, you know, in between my cases on the dockets, I would pull out my notebook and just kind of write a few pages here or there, and it just kind of calmed me down and kind of helped me find my zen.
Were you ever, in writing in those stolen moments during your day job as a lawyer, kind of weaving the judge or the bailiff or the other attorneys or the defendants into your stories in any way?
You know, I was tempted. I think what a lot of people ask me is, you know, do you ever consider writing legal thrillers? And I've thought about it, but the thing is you have to really know something well to write it. And I think if I tried to write something really legal or have a lot of legal connections to my lawyer past, it would be really difficult to get it just right. I think, you know, John Grisham and those other attorneys, David Baldacci, what they do is so difficult because I think other lawyers, when you read the books, my father's a lawyer too, and we read them and we think, oh, you know, they messed up on this little part, or they should have done this in this case, you know, and but I've steered away from that. And I try not to let anybody that I've met in real life kind of color my writing as far as characters, although I have had some amazing experiences that I thought someday, 20 years down the road when it's safe, I'm like, I might write some memoirs off of the things that I've seen in court over the years.
We're talking with Lauren Smith. Her website, by the way, is Lauren Smith Books. It's L-A-U-R-E-N, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, books.com, laurensmithbooks.com. She's a romance novelist, and you mentioned a law career as being in the past, so you're no longer working as a lawyer. You're a full-time novelist. And let me add to that question. When you discovered the romance novel to today, how much time passed? Because I think people are wondering, is this the kind of business or entrepreneurial opportunity that takes years to cultivate, or is it something that if I have the writing skills, I might be able to dive into and begin to build some success in a quick way?
It is quick, depending on what type of person you are. I knew going in that I wanted to make writing a full-time career. So I've read my first romance novel in 2009, which was about midway through my second year of law school, and I passed the bar in 2011. I worked as a full-time attorney up until about a year and a half ago, and now I work part-time. So I kind of say it's in the past as far as full-time work, but I still work with sole practitioner attorneys out of my house. I write legal briefs, and I do research for them and proofread their briefs and other kind of small things that don't require me to go into court anymore. That way I can work full time. And the main thing that I would say is if anybody's interested in this entrepreneurial effort as far as being a writer, it can happen, especially in this day and age with indie publishing or self-publishing being such a huge opportunity. What you have to do, though, is you have to approach the market and say, what is selling and can I write that? And that's the research you have to do, because I think a lot of people think, oh, I can write a book, and they want to write a book, but it might be not in a genre that sells well. So you have to be ready to adjust your writing ability and think, do I want to write mystery thriller? Do I want to write some commercial fiction, you know, romance and stuff that is on the market in the airports, in the Walmart, stuff that people buy and read 3 or 4 books like that a week. That's the kind of stuff that makes money. And so you have to approach it with a critical eye and say, what can I write that's going to sell and make money? And that took me about from my first book published in 2014 in January. And now I have about 25 titles out as of
25
now.
25 titles.
And I try to release 6 a year. So.
Yeah, wow. And so in saying that, and we'll get back to the books that you have, but how about using social media in your business as a romance novelist? I would think that could also meld well just to get the word out. Is that what you have to do as well?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely crucial. You know, the days of writers being in little cabins in Maine and enjoying their privacy is over. You know, I remember having a talk with my publicist, and she says, you have to take pictures of your life. Put it on Instagram. Show people what your day-to-day life is. And I remember thinking, but I'm so boring. How can you know? But what I realized is people love pictures of your pets. So my dogs are the stars of my Instagram account. And I've developed a Facebook group on Facebook where people, it's a private, you know, kind of exclusive group, and I share teasers with them. I let them know it's going on. I let them have inputs on my covers if I'm self-publishing a book, and I give them feedback, and I run special contests, and then they do reviews for me, and then they push me out on all of their social media accounts to share what they love. So it's really a give and take. In the romance reader community, readers are so involved with you, and they love your stories, and they care about your characters so much that they will go the extra mile if you really cultivate that relationship as a two-way street of friendship. And it takes a lot of effort, and it for an introvert like me, it is a little difficult, but they make it so rewarding because they love your stories so much that it's like talking to friends every day when I get on social media and interact with them.
So because of that, I would assume with the, you know, 25 plus and pounding more out books, that people must wonder, and you're writing romance, they must wonder about your love life. Do people ask you questions about that?
do. I think that the running joke is people, my parents are very supportive of my romance writing career, and they're very involved in the business. They're sort of like part of my entrepreneurial team. And we have friends of theirs that always come up and ask my dad and my mom jokingly, and they say, was your daughter writing this from real life experience? And my dad goes, no, definitely not. It's a running joke. I mean, they just say no. But the trick is, you know, writing romance, all you have to do is read what other people out there have written, and you kind of can integrate the styles and what works in scenes to you. It's kind of almost, I jokingly say, it's almost scientific to write about love.
Which, of course, when you're falling in love, it's the least scientific thing in the world until you look at it biologically.
Right.
All right, we're talking with Lauren Smith. She's a romance novelist. Her website is laurensmithbooks.com. And I want to talk about your books and take kind of an interesting angle on this, Lauren, because, look, first of all, we're Forbes Books at Bedtime. So bedtime, perfect time to talk about romance novels, right? But we're also Forbes Books. And so you brought up marketing, and we're very interested in the marketing of romance novels and how you've learned that. And so one of the things I want to do is give you an opportunity to tell us about your books. For instance, you have a series called The League of Rogues. Tell us about the series and why, from a marketing perspective, writing a series of romance novels is so important.
A series is so important because the average romance reader will read 3 to 4 books a week. And if you can get them addicted to your book,
a week.
That's why it is a $2.8 billion industry in romance alone, and they prove it by reading that much.
So they go to get more books more than they go to the grocery store to get food.
Exactly.
Wow.
Kate, I think we're in the wrong business.
I know. That's incredible. Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. Are you kidding? And what's the demographic? What's the demographic of the people who read romance novels that you know of?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Since the new adult and young adult genres, new adult being 12 to 18-year-old readers and new adult being 18 to 24-year-old readers, you've got this kind of what I call the twilight readers are aging up. The readers that were reading, you know, high school age fiction, they're in their college years now, and they are wanting more adult romances. And you're seeing a younger crowd transferring over. And so our demographic is now about between 18 and 80 now, to be honest. We're spread that wide, with the average being in the 40s and 50s in age, but it's getting a lot younger.
So tell us about your books. If we're just hearing you for the first time and we have not discovered you at laurensmithbooks.com, which book would you recommend we get first to get started on that 3 to 4 a week?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because I'm one of the few authors that really tries to write everything under the sun. So I write historical romances, paranormal romances, contemporary romance. I do a little bit of erotic romance. But I would probably say, if you're just the average reader who hasn't been exposed to me, I would say the League of Rogues series, just because it's probably the funnest. You have these 5 guys in Regency England, and Regency England was a time period where men and women could get away with a lot, scandalous stuff. I mean, Jane Austen makes it sound very buttoned down, but that time period was pretty wild. You know, they didn't have any wars going on. They weren't fighting anybody. It was a kind of a 20-year period where they were kind of could just get into trouble socially on their own, and it was a lot of fun. And so I have these 5 men that have these very strong bonds of friendship, and they kind of get into all these little mishaps and adventures, and they fall in love along the way. And what's so captivating for my readers about that series is from the very first page of the first book, you have all 5 heroes present in the story. Even though one story focuses on one hero and one heroine, every single book in the series has all of the men and their future wives or current wives interacting. And so it's like you never have to say goodbye to those characters, and it only builds on that loyalty. I'm going to be releasing my 5th book this July, and I have fans that are absolutely raving mad. They just are desperate to get to so-and-so's story, which is book 7 or 8 down the line.
You that's know? And it's brilliant. Just that from a marketing perspective,
I love
that's
it.
Brilliant.
I love it. Lauren Smith, we are off to go and start on that series, Romance Novelist. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
It was shocking. It was just a handful of days ago that Senator John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I know that that's been a conversation a lot of people are having, that they know somebody who had brain cancer, or, oh my gosh, what is this about, and what kind of surgery do you have to have, and whatnot. So who better to join us on the show than Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, and president of the Brain Tumor Foundation as well. And we could go on and on about Dr. Stieg's resume, and certainly this is his expertise. Dr. Stieg, I can imagine a lot of people were asking you about Senator McCain. So first of all, what kind of brain cancer was he diagnosed with?
He was diagnosed with what is the most common form of primary brain tumor, which is a tumor that originates in the brain that we see in the glial category. It's called a glioblastoma, and when we think about glial tumors, they're graded on a scale of 1 to 3, 3 being the worst, and his being a glioblastoma makes it a grade 3. So it's the most aggressive form of glial tumor that we have to deal with as neurosurgeons.
Yeah, and so when we hear that, and we kept hearing the word aggressive, what does that mean as far as surgery is concerned? What's typically what happens?
Well, typically what happens is once a diagnosis is made, then the protocol that we try to follow is an aggressive surgical resection followed by radiation therapy with concurrent chemotherapy. The extent of the resection is obviously dependent upon the size of the tumor and the location of the tumor. If the tumor is in what we refer to as eloquent brain, meaning the visual cortex, the speech cortex, or the motor cortex, then we're limited in regard to the extent of resection that we can perform, because this is a tumor that it's an infiltrative tumor and it sends little tentacles into the normal brain, and there isn't a real boundary. You don't know when you've reached the end of it. So there's a limit to how much we can resect.
Is this typical what you see? Because as you know, when he went in, when the senator went in, he was there to just remove a blood clot from above his left eye, and that's what they found.
It's not the most common presentation for this type of tumor. They are known to bleed, but more commonly they would present with either a seizure or with some neurologic deficit, again, dependent upon where the tumor is located.
Yeah, and when you actually do the surgery, you know, you and I have talked about the kinds of surgery that you can have. You talked about the surgery, of course, where often typically you're awake. In this kind of a surgery, would the person be awake?
Most probably he was not. I have not seen his scan, so I don't know exactly where the tumor is located. That being said, given the approach that they took, I suspect he was asleep and they resected the tumor without him being awake. As we talked about earlier, the only times we really do awake surgery is when the tumor is located in those eloquent areas of the brain.
Yeah, and the reason you and I have talked about that before, the reason is, well, there's a couple factors. I mean, first of all, from the layman's terms, I think it's amazing that you do that, but it's because of speech, et cetera, so you can tell what's happening, right, by what you're doing back to the patient.
Right. The reason for doing the awake surgery is that we want to know exactly where we are in their brain, and while they're awake, we can test the function that we're worried about losing during the surgical procedure. So if the tumor were in his speech cortex or if it was in his motor cortex, we would most commonly do that awake.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. One of the things the doctor said is that McCain, with this aggressive tumor, he was oriented, he had good balance, he had no headaches, no seizures, that kind of stuff. And the senator is someone who's had other malignant melanomas removed a couple of times, I guess like three of them. And he gets a lot of these kind of screenings and whatnot. And this was a significant operation, obviously, as you know. And, you know, with the bone underneath the eyebrow had to be removed to do the procedure and then put back. Wow, I've never heard of that. That's typical? That's common?
It's a new approach that we use in neurosurgery. We commonly use the term minimal access or minimally invasive surgery. The reason for doing that is the recovery is faster, and he obviously had an exceptionally quick recovery. He was discharged from the hospital within 24 hours. So that's all beneficial for the patient. It also speaks to the fact, hopefully, again, I haven't seen the scans, that the tumor was caught early and that it was small and contained within the hemorrhagic or the bleeding area that they found.
Yeah, one of the things that I read, and also you would know this too, the mortality rate, but one of the things I read is there were some statistics from a study that was done back in 2009, and the study said that almost 10% of patients with that live maybe 5 years or longer. And this is from the American Brain Tumor Association. Again, Lena, looking at mortality rates, of course, who knows, but is that typical too as well?
Yeah, as I said earlier, this is the most aggressive type of tumor that we deal with. We don't use the word cancer because it doesn't spread to other parts of the body. But unfortunately, it's in your brain, and as it continuously recurs, the average survival is 14 to 16 months overall. Again, having hopefully caught it early, and if he is a good responder. There are also a number of molecular markers that we use now, and those are predictors for long-term prognosis. So hopefully he has all the appropriate markers, and he will respond to the radiation and the chemotherapy.
Yeah, and you said this in the beginning, too, with the radiation and the chemotherapy. What's the typical course for that for most people? Because as we're discussing how aggressive it is.
Most people will go, we would wait after the surgery, wait several weeks for the wound to heal because radiation is hard on the scalp. And then it's 5 weeks of radiation with concurrent chemotherapy. And then subsequently the patient will get chemotherapy at regular intervals.
Yeah, you just did a presentation at the annual meeting of the European low-grade, is it glioma? Glioma Network. And in doing that, the focus there was the early detection. So what's the early detection from the physician's point of view?
What we're trying to look at is to determine the cost effectiveness of getting MRI scans. Mm-hmm. Can we do, you know, not a full sequence of MRI, which can be expensive and time consuming, but a person could come in at periods in their life, or certainly people that are at high risk. And Senator McCain was at high risk, not necessarily for a glioblastoma, but for a metastatic melanoma, because they can frequently go to the brain. So you would get a quick scan that would help you detect early either metastases or a primary tumor. The major issue is everybody would like to have a scan, wouldn't you, just to make sure that you don't have any problem.
Yes.
But this is very much like mammography, you know, the discussion that goes on with that. I mean, how cost-effective is it? Can we afford to scan every citizen in the United States to rule out that they've got a brain tumor when, you know, the incidence, say, of glioblastomas is not really high. It's about 30,000 patients per year.
Yeah, glioblastoma. When we talk about that, and we talk about ages and whatnot, this across the board, you can see this in, he's 80 years old, but it could happen at any age, right?
Absolutely. You know, we see them in 30-year-olds, we see them in 50-year-olds, and we see them in 80-year-olds. You know, some people think that we're seeing more of them. It's a slight uptick, but part of the issue is we're all living longer. And, you know, 30 years ago, individuals died of heart disease and lung disease from too much cigarette smoke. And now we're living, and other things are creeping up.
Yeah, wow. And this is, too, and I looked this up to make sure I was right, Dr. Stieg, but this is the same kind of brain tumor that Senator Ted Kennedy had, if I recall.
It is. Hopefully the difference is that Senator Kennedy's tumor was in an eloquent part of his brain so that they couldn't get what is called gross total excision. And that, again, has an impact on long-term prognosis for a patient, whereas Senator McCain's was in his frontal lobe. That is a more forgiving area. Hopefully they were able to be aggressive and get a complete resection.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Good to talk with you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.